The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show on Biz Radio, Kent Business Radio, and channelradio.co.uk. It's Tuesday, the 31st of October. It's Halloween. Ooh, scary. Or something. And you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host.
It's me.
It is you.
It's Barrett on a bike.
It is Barrett
on a
bike.
It's Ms. on a bike.
Ms. on a bike.
Yes.
Nice to see you, Ms. on a bike. How are you?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm good.
How are you?
Yeah, you?
I'm okay. You get thinner by the week, you do.
Do you know what? Somebody said that to me this morning as well. It's because I'm peaking.
I noticed.
I've got one more day of peaking.
I know.
And then God help them.
Yeah.
But we've got cookies today.
Yeah.
Very excited, Tom. Thank you very much. I can eat them.
That'll stop your peaking for a while, won't it?
Do you think?
Yeah.
Why?
Thomas just showed us a double chocolate.
No, triple.
Triple chocolate, triple chocolates.
What makes it triple?
Three times.
I'm ever so sorry, Thomas. What makes it triple?
It's
dark chocolate, milk chocolate.
All three, yeah.
Really?
Well, there is four types of chocolate, so I could do quadruple.
Now, I'm really pleased you're on because I often talk about cacao and these are heathens. They've got no idea what cacao is.
Cacao's good for you.
Mm.
Yeah.
I know what cacao is.
I spoke to you about this and you were like, what's cacao?
No, I didn't. I know what cacao is.
Who was the one who said Nettie?
It was Nettie.
Yeah.
I quite often eat a little cube of cacao dark chocolate.
No, but that's not cacao.
No, cacao chocolate.
You eat it before it's gone to the dark side and do gone I? To normal.
I don't know.
He doesn't eat raw cacao.
I don't eat raw cacao.
That's what we're talking
chocolate.
About. Yeah, no, this is raw. I put raw cacao.
That's typical of you.
Yeah, I put raw cacao in my smoothies, in my protein smoothie.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah.
And look at the state of you.
I know. I'm amazing, eh? How are you? You all right?
I'm all right, yeah.
What's new?
Oh, you know.
Talk to us about, because I really enjoyed talking about that on the pre-show show, the acuity.
Yeah, well, I'll kind of tie a few things together here.
Do it.
Because today's show sponsor are the lovely folks at the Networkers Networking event, and their event is actually taking place this Thursday at the fabulous Kenwood Trust. Kenwood Trust is a charity for people with addictions, drug and alcohol addictions. It's a rehabilitation centre. It's a Georgian country house in Yalding, just outside Maidstone. It is an absolutely glorious venue. It is so lovely. It is so peaceful. It is such a nice place. And the Networkers Networking event are holding an event there this Thursday from 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. There are four great speakers. Well, it's three great speakers and me, because one of the speakers, Spencer, unfortunately couldn't make it, so I've kind of stepped in because I was going anyway. So the other speakers are Chris Pollard, Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, and Mark Goldfinch. So a really good lineup of speakers, really interesting, really looking forward to it. It's an all-day event, but you can pop in when you like. You don't have to be there all day. It's £15 to come, and that includes refreshments, or you can pay £25 and get a full lunch as well. Or you can just pay on the day. It's £5 extra to pay on the day, but you can pop in and out, or you can come for the full day. They are really brilliant events. Anyway, so that's the Networkers Networking event this Thursday at the Kenwood Trust in Yalding. If you want to book your place, butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/NNE. That's butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/NNE. Amanda, who is the organiser, said, would I stand in because Spencer couldn't make it? And I said, yes, I'm happy to do that. And I actually put a little bit of thought about what I'm going to say, which is unusual for me. I don't normally think about it beforehand. And I want to talk about acuity.
Mm.
Is what I want to talk about.
Well, so tell me what that looks like to you.
Acuity is an awareness of the world, a perception of the world, an ability to see what's going on around you, and to not try to predict what you think's happening, but to actually see what is happening, if you see what I mean.
Mm.
And I'm very keen on acuity because I think there's quite a bit of lack of it at the moment.
What if you don't have personal acuity? Can you still have business acuity?
Highly unlikely.
Mm.
Highly unlikely. You need to develop acuity.
Mm.
And it's something that a lot of us just don't really have because we don't really try. So, you know, a lot of it is about developing acuity. It's about starting to think about things, about trying to detach yourself from your emotions. But I talk a lot, and I see a lot of people that still fall for this. And you get it more and more with social media, where people read something that's aimed at somebody, and they go into a thing called amygdala hijack. The amygdala is a part of the brain that's responsible for automatic responses, and basically your brain takes over and you emotionally respond to something without thinking about it, and there's far too much of that at the moment. Years and years and years and years ago, I was a Dale Carnegie instructor, you know, how to win friends and influence people. And one of the big things that Dale said is the only way to win an argument is to never have one.
Mm.
And that's a really good piece of advice.
Beautiful piece of advice.
Because you can't win. You know, you will never convince someone, especially in the heat of an argument, you know, to people don't go, oh, my God, all these years I've been voting Tory and now you've convinced me to vote Labour. It's just never happened in the history of anything. So why bother? I don't know. So acuity is being willing to stop being emotionally hijacking yourself, yeah, and to start to think from a more detached point of view. So that's what I'm going to be talking about, probably.
I'm loving that.
Yeah.
The fact that you, and here comes the funniest question, eh? Mm. You haven't got any slides, have you?
No, of course not.
I love it.
I've never used slides in my life.
No.
Never worked with technology, animals or children.
Says you who used to be in technology.
Yeah, yeah. No, but that's exactly why I don't do it.
Exactly.
and I've got children.
Exactly.
Yeah, no.
I love it. I love the fact that you've got a thought process of what's going to happen on Thursday, actually.
Yeah, that's unusual for me.
Yeah.
Normally I just rock up and open my mouth and see what comes out.
Yeah, yeah. But it's clearly something's affected you since last week, because obviously you know every week I say to you what's new in your world now, and you've gone acuity this week.
Yeah, yeah. It's because I've been thinking about it, because more and more and more I see people and hear people reacting to things, and I just think, well, that's not right. Not because I know. I have to go away and research and think, is that true?
Yeah.
Is that really true?
I was saying to you that I've been studying with writing my book at the minute. I do so much research, and I've been studying this Benedictine monk, and he's just phenomenal. And he used these two words, and it really affected me. And I was like, wow. And really, that just helps you with the acuity. And he just said, fear not. That was it. It's just beautiful, isn't it? He said, out of all the scriptures he's written, out of all the scriptures that he's been involved in, out of the chanting that they do daily as Benedictine monks, he said the biggest thing that he takes with himself is fear not. So fear not, our friends.
I think getting older kind of helps, because you've kind of been through so many things and you've experienced so many things, and you eventually learn that, you know, eventually things kind of pan out reasonably somewhere down the line anyway. Mm. And you don't get quite so emotionally hessed up about things. I guess also getting older, your testosterone levels drop and you're not so aggressive and all the rest of it.
We could talk about that.
We could.
We could talk about manipulating your testosterone.
Really?
Yep. That's what I do, isn't it?
What, manipulate my testosterone? Cool, you do.
Manipulate hormones.
You get mine going.
Well, that's not true, is it?
Oh, no. So what have you been up to?
Well, I've been peeking.
You've told us that a few times. You're pleased that you've peaked, aren't you?
I'm so excited about Saturday. It's ridiculous. And what am I up to? I'm up to writing. I'm off my face on writing words and laughing at the words that I'm writing.
Is this your second or third book?
Yeah, second.
Second book, yeah.
Yeah.
A bit different to your first book.
Yes, yes. It was going to be my third book, and my second book was going to be If That's What You Choose to Believe. But for some reason, this book has just taken over. So it's called Shall I Help You Pack? And it's about the woman scorned.
Right.
It's the funniest. Honestly,
but it's an autobiography, isn't it?
It's very autobiographical, except...
It's about your first husband, isn't it? Let's be honest.
I can't divulge into that just in case he sues me, but it's very much on those lines. And it's about my story. Yeah, yeah, of course. And there are no better things than your own story.
Sure.
Here, I met an insurance assessor yesterday. He was the greatest storyteller ever. Mm. He was telling me about his debt collecting stories and everything. So, yeah, so my book is about things that happened to me that... I tell you what, when you hear the stories of what happened, it always gets gasps and agogs. They go, oh, no. So I thought, what better way? And I knew that I was going to write this 16 years ago. So here it is. But I can't wait to get it out there.
And I can't wait to read it.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it.
And I get stopped in Tesco's and things like that now. I keep telling people, I keep telling my friends, oh, my God, I got stopped in Tesco's. Oh, it's you. You're the writer. I'm like, yes. Thank you. Do you know who I am? I've always wanted to say that. It's coming.
Who are you?
I know. Anyway, so nice yes.
One. Cool.
Thank you.
Listen, as always, we want to hear from you, all the businesses out there in Southeast England. You can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call me on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035. You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to use the hashtag BeBunker. We have already had at least 4,833,000,000,000.
Oh, my days.
And two.
That's up this week.
Tweets. Yeah, no,
We didn't say last week, did we?
It took me ages to count. No, I stopped counting them last week. It was just...
No way. Yeah,
it wasn't so good last week, was it? No. We didn't have quite as many tweets.
No.
No, but they're all back this week.
Loving that. Yeah. Good. You know why?
Why?
It's not half term.
That's right. That's true. So I've got a tweet here from some lovely folks. And their Twitter handle is Future Coders SE. And they say they're looking for 15 to 18-year-olds in the Medway area, and they want to help spread the word to young people about coding. I've got an email that I'm going to read from them later, but for the moment we'll go with their Twitter, and I'll read the email later because it's quite long. But they're a really interesting organisation. They're a charitable they're a community organisation. Future Coders SE. Please give them a follow on the Twitter. Find out what they're up to. But I'll tell you more about them as the show unfolds, because I've got a big email about them later.
Well, Waste Paper Solutions, please give our fantastic company a mention today on Business Bunker, paper shredding collection service from homes and businesses in Kent. There is your shout out, Waste Paper Solutions. Do you know what I quite like is the fact they've called themselves a fantastic company.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm sure they are.
I don't mind if they are or aren't. I just like the fact that they think they are.
Yeah, no, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've had a tweet from Joanne Fraze as well. And she says, VanillaWeb Business Bunker, she's used lots of emojis in this, so I've got to interpret this. Yeah. A huge clap from all at Harlequin CDIS, all things IT and IT security specialists. If you need help, I can't see what that is, a red telephone. Let's have coffee and cake on your radio show. So I worked it out eventually. thank you, Joanne. That's Harlequin CDS. They are IT specialists, and they are specifically cyber security IT specialists. So do check them out. And Joanne's also put a picture of what I think is her front door with a Halloween dummy of a skeleton. Oh, it's Death. It's the Grim Reaper. It's fabulous. Check really? It out. Check out her Facebook page. It's Joanne, JoAnneFraise. Joanne Fraise. Check it out. There's a fantastic picture of the Grim Reaper on there.
Well, Myra Cher, can we have a Business Bunker shout out, please? May the health and safety be with you. Do you see what they've done there?
I see what they've done there.
Do you know what? It's out soon.
What?
Star Wars.
Yeah.
14th of December. Can I just say that?
Is it?
Very exciting.
Are you a fan?
Love it.
I've lost track of it. I haven't watched a Star Wars movie for ages.
Out.
I know.
Get off. Get out.
You didn't take me.
Well, all right, well, we'll go. Yeah, okay. It'll be great. We could do a big family, bat family one.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's got to be done.
Yeah. Amanda's a big fan of Star Wars
I know.
As well. Yeah.
And Lucy, so we could all go.
Yeah.
Be good fun.
Yeah. I've got an email here from the New Romney Marsh Networking Group. And there's a list of the next meetings that they've got. If you want to book any of these or find out more details, the easiest way to do this is to go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Click on the blog link, and then there's a Marsh Networking link, and all of the booking details are in there. So I'm just going to run through the next events. There's the Marsh Networking over coffee on November the 8th at 10 a.m, and that's taking place in New Romney at the Cinqport Arms. There's a meeting of the Marsh After Hours Network Group on the 22nd of November. That's at 5 p.m, and that's at the Ship in Dymchurch. And then the December meeting of Marsh Networking over coffee is December the 6th at 10 a.m. That's back at the Cinqport Arms. And then the after hours is at the Ship in Dymchurch. So you get that. The morning one is at the Cinqport Arms in New Romney. And the evening one is at the Ship in Dymchurch. And the next evening one is on December the 13th at 5 p.m.
Awesome. I've got a big announcement here. This is about Realm 79. They're a band, a local band in Kent. I'm blessed to know Ollie, the lead singer, and he's had this amazing thought process. He thought about putting on a big gig for over 1,000 people in the Leescliff Hall. So guess what? He's organised it.
He's put on a big gig. He's for putting on a big gig. The Leescliff Hall.
So this is to celebrate, party, and raise £10,000 for the Alzheimer's Society, and it's the big one. It's called, and it says for Realm 79, the big one. Squarepace.com. The tickets. This is a live music show with huge prizes. You want to see some of the prizes? It is crazy. This is on December the 7th at 7:30, and this is at the Leescliff Hall in Folkestone. They're a local band. You've got to come. And we've got to celebrate this because he's just had this ridiculous dream of singing in front of 1,000 people. So he's created
Superb.
We're going to get him in here, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Talking of music, why don't we have a track?
What we got? I love him.
Do you?
Yeah.
Go on then. Before it starts, who, what?
You want me to sing it?
No, just say who and what. Announce the record.
You want me to, is this Dancing on the Ceiling?
No.
Ah, don't like this one then.
It's All Night Long.
Come join the fun, it's a merry Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
Right, time for work. I'm off to Channel Facilities Management. Oh, didn't I say? I don't work for them. What I mean is, I don't start work without them. Channel Facilities Management is where local businesses go for no-hassle, peace-of-mind commercial cleaning, security, janitorial supplies and facilities management. Operating a safe, green and eco-friendly service with no chemicals used. Channel Facilities Management. Don't start work without them. Just call 0800 612 4415 or visit channelfm.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Your business will grow if you take advice from people who've been there and done it. See and hear world-class business experts in masterclasses and workshops at the only business conference worth visiting. The Grow Kent Annual Conference, November the 30th at the Ashford International Hotel. Get tickets at growkent.co.uk.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today. ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live. Register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on Channel Radio, Biz Radio, KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Halloween, Tuesday the 31st of October, with me, Paul Andrews, and her.
And with me, Bird.
With Bird.
Yeah.
Cool.
You all right?
Yeah, all night long.
Not dancing on the ceiling.
No.
No.
All night long.
Good.
Cool.
Are you any reason why?
No. Just picked it at random because I like the song.
Awesome.
Are you based in the borough of Ashford?
No, because I'm global business.
You are, but now you can.
I'm global.
Now you can, Bird.
Can I?
Yeah, and why not register your business for the Ashford Business Awards, which includes
global.
Hythe. Global businesses in business. Hythe. Yeah, Folkestone.
This is an ongoing joke. Yeah. For months this has been going on.
The award dinner takes place on November the 30th at the Ashford International Hotel. And if you want to know details of how to enter, which global businesses in Hythe can enter, it's businessawardskent.co.uk. Do check it out. They've had loads of applications so far.
Have they?
Yeah, good.
It's because it's global.
It's because it's global businesses in Southeast Kent. Yeah. 50 so far.
Is that normal? Is that good?
It's good, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it's good, yeah. Good to be listening again. After a bit of an absence and hearing your dulcet tones once more resounding through the Avocet bunker, Keith and Karen Wilkins and Jen, who's the social media queen apparently, from Avocet Strategic Resourcing are listening in. If you want to know more about them, you can follow them on the Twitter at Avotec Strategic Resourcing, or you could just give them a call, 01634 16058.
Bridger Howes would like, Limited would like a shout out. It's a good day to be ghostwriting.
Is it?
You know why, don't you?
No, go on.
Because it's Halloween.
Yeah, I got that, yeah. Thank you, Rich. Thank you,
thank
Mark.
You.
That's
very
good.
Funny.
Yeah,
very funny.
Yeah.
And TWBC Business Support here, helping businesses in Tunbridge Wells Borough grow. They've asked for a shout out. There you go.
Yeah. Feel yourself shouted out.
Yeah.
Talking about shout outs, so I've had Chris Hyde of Camellia Genics has been on.
Yeah.
He says, good day, Paul. He's gone Australian. He's moved to Lincolnshire and gone Australian. Good day, he says. Looking forward to the Business Bunker show. I shall be tuning in. Can I have a shout out, please? And then he said, oh gosh, I misread the graphic and thought Channel Radio 3 had gone Scandinavian.
I know.
It's not Norway.
I know. And then he said, have you got some new channels? So I text him back saying, you are right. So very, very funny, Chris. So we've got our Autumn ZC Social Media Academy dates have now been set. We wanted to let you know about the next events we are coming up at Dragon Co-working and a second event taking place at Romney Marsh Resource Centre next month. They already have 25 delegates booked for both events. So if you're looking to build your business contacts and to network while learning about different social media topics at the same time, then continue listening to this. Book your free place through Eventbrite. This is for ZC Digital Academy at Romney Marsh, B Business Centre, and it's free to attend. And that's Thursday the 23rd of November, 9:30 till 11:30. And that's how to use video in your social media strategy. And then on the same day, but at a different place, and it's a different time, which is Thursday the 23rd of December of November. God, I was getting carried away then.
You were, weren't you?
Nearly had to say, buddy, the elf, what's your favourite colour?
Oh.
2:30 till 4:30, how to use video in your social media strategy. But that's at Dragon Co-working at St. George's Hotel. Again, free to attend, but go and book your free place.
Thank you for that. Hello, Buddy the Elf.
What's your favourite colour?
I've mentioned earlier the tweet that we had from from Coders, Future Coders South East. And I've got a longer email to tell you all about it. Karen Scott, who's behind this scheme, has asked me to try and help with this. And I'm more than happy to do it. Future Coders, she says, I'm writing to ask you a couple of things. Future Coders are running a series of coding workshops for teenagers at Strood Youth Centre starting on November the 9th and running each Thursday evening from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. And for more information, people should visit futurecoders.org.uk. She says, I'd also appreciate it if your listeners might let as many young people between the ages of 13 and 18 know about this. If a business has an interest in helping to build skills that will make it easier to find developers in the future, then they should contact me. And Karen's email address is karen@futurecoders.org.uk. She says, is it possible that you could help me find people who might share my passion for helping young people to learn about careers in tech and in programming? People that to learn to code and then to put that in practice in developing apps for good causes. She says, I started the company less than a year ago and started to work full-time for Future Coders at the start of August this year. The demand and potential for what we do is already growing, and I need to find more people with the right technical skills to help us grow and to reach as many people as possible. Now, these are volunteer positions. If you're a programmer or a developer and you have those kind of skills and you'd like to help the next generation of young people learn coding skills, this is the organisation for you. So they're a non-profit company, which means that we can't have shareholders. We can be paid a salary, or we can volunteer our time. But at the moment, they're looking for volunteers. I need skilled programmers who can see the whole picture and can identify. So they need people with acuity, basically, where to deploy students to help them learn through their contributions. If you want to find out more about what they're doing, it's futurecoders.org.uk. Do check it out. It's a fantastic thing that they're doing.
Mm. Rift Accounting, Start My Biz, and Rift Accounting are excited to announce the My Biz Conference. Do you remember last year? What was this? The Young Conference last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
This time it's being called My Biz Conference. This is with dynamic speakers including Mark Quinn from Quinn Estates and Jodie Fanning, British auto racing driver who currently competes in the European Le Mans Series. So this is pop-in workshops, two-minute business pitches, business stands, networking and more. They have a limited number of business stands and you need to book that online, and you can do that and you can also be a biz conference sponsorship. You need to go on to chris.west@canterbury.gov.uk.
Cool. I had a tweet from Diligence PM Services.
Mm-hmm.
They go, spooky, let's have some good spirits, have an even better Halloween this year than last, fun not fear, they say, trick or treat.
Yeah, Telca have been talking about this as well. They've said, what spooky stuff is happening on channel radio today, Vanilla Web?
Well, it's me and you.
That's it.
That's scary enough,
isn't it? It's enough, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think so.
Yeah. Cheeky Chairs have been on.
Have they? I love their photo in Twitter the last couple of days. They've got some beautiful green, like bar stools type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, fabulous. Absolutely gorgeous. Handmade chairs. That's one of their cheeky chairs out in the corner as well. So could you let Business Bunker listeners know that Cheeky Chairs will be at the Wealden Times Wealden Fair, which is taking place this year between the 16th and then the 18th of November at the Hop Farm at Paddock Wood. So do go along and meet Felicity and the gang from Cheeky Chairs at the Wealden Fair.
Nice.
Hmm. What you got?
Our 2018 Open or Public Course Diary is now available for bookings. They offer first aid training either at your premises or one of our open courses. In-house courses are perfect if you have several people needing training. But if there is only one or two, then the open or public courses may well be suited. So this is emergency first aid at work. That's the 27th of November. It's £75 per person plus VAT. And this is a dedicated course at your premises. So they got lots and lots of different things that you can have, different dates. You need to get hold of Jeremy Hinchcliffe. He's the director of the company, and that's at www. That's the World Wide Web, which is quite spooky. Mr. Andrews, mm-hmm. That's very spooky.
It is very spooky.
Why would that be?
Don't know.
World Wide Web.
Oh, yeah.
Spider. See what I did there?
Oh,
Halloween.
Okay.
Yes. And that's firstaidteam.co.uk. He's not even listening to me. I should as well be here on my own.
I'm doing technical stuff. Sorry.
Are we technical at the minute?
I'm doing technical stuff.
Oh,
go
are
on.
You?
Yeah. No, go. Keep going.
Witherston. Is that right?
Yeah.
Witherston Hall is a very special place. We offer a sanctuary, peace, tranquility, with an opportunity to create a unique and bespoke retreat with our wonderful and highly recommended therapist. There is still time to take that autumn break. Take advantage of one of our fabulous autumn offers. 4 nights for the price of 3, including complimentary breakfast, or 3 nights for 2. And you need to quote this, autumn 2017. If you're looking for that perfect gift for someone at Christmas, then you can grab a voucher and tailor it to their unique gift for them. Treat yourself to a new year. So treat yourself to some time at this new year to create, again, a retreat that's really bespoke for you. They offer acupuncture, breakthrough therapy. We'd love to know what that is. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't.
Huh. Yeah, anyway, Witherston Hall, can you let us know what breakthrough therapy is? Mm. Mindfulness, massage, Reiki, reflexology, yoga, and so much more. And that's at witherstonhall.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Can we eat them yet?
Oh, for goodness sake. We're going to talk to our first guest while Bird stuffs her face with triple chocolate chip cookies because she's peaked. Yeah. Listen, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Thomas Redgrove of the Thomas Cookie Company, based over there in Maidstone. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure to see you, especially with your cookies. I'll tell you what, two or three people asked you this off air, so we might as well cover it on air. Why don't you kick off by telling us what made you get into the cookie business?
I love cookies. So I've got a massive sweet tooth. I've always baked with my mum when I was younger. I looked at loads of different businesses that I wanted to start, and they ended up just being really boring. So I just thought, right, I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to make a really good product. I'm going to find a market to sell it. And it worked. So, yeah, I just always creating new stuff. So I just really enjoy it.
Okay, cool.
What's your most popular cookie?
Well, we have two bestsellers, which are our pistachio dark chocolate and smoked sea salt cookie. And we also have salted caramel and pecan, which is very popular as well. But, of course, you can't beat the crowd pleaser triple chocolate chunk that I brought with me today.
Yeah.
Which, as we cleared up earlier, is called triple chocolate because it's got 3 different types of chocolate in.
Nice.
But they're all cacao.
So for you, did you start off wanting to have any type of business? How did that start for you? Did you entrepreneurial thought?
Yeah, I've wanted to run a business for as long as I can remember. The last two jobs that I had were in recruitment, in sales. And when I took the job, I thought to myself, this is going to be my last job. My next thing I'm going to do is going to be running my own business. But it was just finding the business that I wanted to run. The reason I didn't start the cookie business straight away, and it was a concept about 4 years before I started, so 6-7 years ago now, I made the first batch of the cookies, was silly because it was ridicule about being a baker, starting a cookie company. People were just saying, oh, that's sweet, isn't it? You know, and it's never going to be very, very big or anything. And people now have said to me, I thought you were just going to make a couple of cookies and sell them on the market. And you know, we're just growing and growing. You know, our sales revenue is up. I think it's like something 300% year on year. Because we've just been, this year, I've just gone absolutely crazy with it. And I plan to do the same. Hopefully get the same sort of growth again next year. But, you know, that was extreme. But Yeah, I wanted to do, I always wanted to start my own business. And I can't imagine this is going to be my one and only business either. I have ideas bubbling in my mind all the time.
So are these new ideas, are they cookie related, food related, or completely different?
One is completely different. It is food and drink, but it's not to do with cookies. And I've already got everything's in motion for my next business already.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Good. So,
we look at us. We're like,
yeah. He's not going to tell us, is he? No. He's got a big secret. He's not going to tell us what it is.
Have you launched 2018?
2018.
Oh. It's next year that I want to launch the new business.
So it's fairly, so you're working on it right now.
Oh yeah, okay. Working on it. As I was saying earlier on, I keep working 10 till 2, and people think that's a short day, but it's 10 a.m. till 2 a.m. I'm just on my computer, just creating, researching, developing, building, planning, and I love doing it. I absolutely love it.
Right. Okay. Cool. Let's come back to the cookie company to start with. So, how long have you been going?
I actually quit my job 3 years ago this month.
Right.
But we started trading in February after that. So it'll be 3 years in February.
Okay. So you decided to go into cookies, yeah? At the point of deciding to go into cookies, what was your experience of cooking cookies, if you see what I mean?
What, as in with previous jobs? Yeah,
I mean... The way I'm seeing this is, you know, you've gone, I know, let's make cookies. But did you know how to make cookies before you started? Yeah. Or, you know, was it a work in progress?
Yeah.
Go through the process that unfolded for you. You wanted to start a business. You knew that.
Yeah.
You figured cookies were a good business to be in.
Yeah.
But did you know how to make a cookie, or did you have to start from scratch?
No. So I've always had the recipe. It is a particular recipe that I have made for a very, very long time.
So the things you kind of made in your own kitchen for your own use.
Yeah. And you got a basic cookie recipe. But what I hadn't done is created crazy flavors and added ingredients that you wouldn't usually add into a cookie, like red wine. When we first started, we had a red wine dark chocolate cookie, and we also had a bacon dark chocolate and sea salt cookie, which isn't for everyone. I love the reaction that gets. People were just nodding yes or no. It's one or the other. But it was more of a PR thing. And we are bringing the bacon cookie back on the run up to Christmas for 1 week only. So I know a lot of people, everyone asks us, are you bringing the bacon cookie back? You're bringing it back. And we are bringing
bacon
it back.
Bacon cookie.
For 1 week, yeah. During December. But I was making cookies for my colleagues in recruitment up in London. And everyone kept saying, these are amazing, you should sell them. And I was just thinking to myself, that's exactly what I'm planning to do, but I'm not going to tell anyone that. Not yet, anyway.
Right.
So, it was just home experience, just a love of what I did. So I never did it for a job. I worked in the kitchen when I was like 15 or something like that as a washer-upper, but that was the only time I'd worked in the kitchen.
Okay.
So, Tom, did you start the business while you were still employed, or did you literally dive deep into business?
Yeah, so I started the business about 3 weeks before I quit my job, and I spent every single commute on the way to and from London researching, and every single lunch break I would just be, where did you go for lunch? I just went around the corner. Just sitting in a coffee shop, just researching, writing my business plan, making sure I get the right ingredients, making sure I can source in the right place, learning about how to food safety, because that's a really important part of it. And I started it, and I thought, oh, I've done it now. I need to actually quit my job and do this. I had a little bit of a wobble in those couple of months before Christmas. I applied for another job, but I thought, no, I'm not going to do this for the third time. It's the second job that I said that I would start my business. So I just thought, no, I'm not going to take the job. I'm going to start the business. And yeah.
Did you go straight into premises? Sorry, I love this.
No, you go for it.
Did you go straight into premises? Did you go into the marketplaces? What did you?
That's exactly the kind of questions I want to ask, because I used to do a food show a year or so ago. And one of the things we see with artisan food producers is they knock out some really nice food from their kitchen table, but then upscaling is always the thing that they trip over. You know, when you move from being a kitchen table producer or something into a manufacturer of food, that is a big jump and a big leap, and there's all kinds of issues there. How did you face that?
So I actually started probably the hardest possible way, in the fact that I didn't have my own kitchen at home. Mm. I was actually living with the future mother-in-law, now my mother-in-law.
Right.
So I actually started the business from...
You like doing things the hard way, don't you, Tom? You really do.
People said to me, I should write a book on how to start a food business from literally anywhere, including a mother-in-law's kitchen.
Right.
Because it was...
Someone's got to do the washing up.
Do you know what?
Ooh.
I never asked her to sort of do this or help with this, but she was amazing. As mother-in-laws go, I did really well, really, really well. She helped out so much.
He got out of that really...
I did that really well.
She helped out so much, and she's always willing to help now as well. But we started it just from a small under-counter oven that could fit 15 cookies in, and we had a tiny little mixer, and we started off our first week of going into a farmer's market. It was February in Tunbridge Farmer's Market, and we had made 130 or 140 cookies.
Right.
On the way down, there was a friend of mine. Was helping out in the market. I my fiance and her friend coming along as well. All of us going into this farmer's market, like, right, we're gonna sell. And we were working out what our cost prices were, what price we can drop to if we have to, and got to the farmer's market with an hour and a half, all sold out. And we were just like, oh my God, this is amazing. It worked so well. And we had queues and crowds, and everyone was like the buzz of the new company, the new kids on the block. So it was a real buzz. And then we just started making more and more and more and more. Mm. We eventually, I got to the end of that year and said that next year, I'm never going to make a single cookie in that kitchen again, because it was so hard with space. And we started making 1,000 cookies a week.
Right.
And I actually ruptured a vertebrae in my lower back because it was under counter. Mm. I was going up and down for 12 hours straight. When people say they work 12 hours straight, that's got a lunch break in it. It's got about 15, 20 minutes break. But it was...
Premises, fitted them out and got it all up and running.
Yeah. I mean, we located it. Maidstone Borough Council made it quite difficult to get in there. But eventually we did, because it was owned by them. Mm. And I kitted it out. And again, as you say, I'd never worked in a kitchen or built a kitchen or anything like that. It was all purely on research, asking the right people, going to visit the right people. But I built a kitchen, commercial kitchen myself. And just got it up and running. We had some major problems, like humidity, which I didn't ever think would be a huge issue. But our first ever batch of cookies, we made 300 or 400 cookies, and we went to go and put them away, and they were just literally falling apart. And they were soggy, and we were just going, what is going on? It was an absolute nightmare. But we worked out it was humidity, got a dehumidifier in there, sorted that out, and you know, but that was scary, because I thought we've got to trade this weekend. I've gone far too long without trading.
Cool. Okay. So, how many cookies are you making now a week, roughly?
So the our record's 4,300 in 1 week, and I've got a weekend coming up over the Christmas period. I've planned my production for the next until Christmas. I got 1 week when we need to make 5,500 cookies.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what's the kind of shelf like? Are you making these for like sale at the weekend and then you start again the following week? Is that how it works?
Yeah, exactly. So we make everything and we bake it all. We sell it on the weekend. And then, every single week is a new batch. The dough, if for example, we had made a load of cookies and the weather had just turned and it's going to be awful, we won't bake as many, and we'll keep it in the fridge in dough form, because that lasts for a couple of weeks
quite
easily. And then... sort of bake that next week.
And where are you selling? Are you still selling through farmers markets?
So we do still do some of our farmers markets, not as many as we used to do, but mainly into food festivals now. So I've started going across the country. We were in Liverpool this year during the festival season. I did Sandringham Palace. We have got Northampton next weekend. But then after that, it's all Christmas markets. We're doing Leeds Castle. We're doing a Rochester Christmas market as well, the Dickens Festival, and also just Sevenoaks. We do a lot in Sevenoaks. It's our key area. We have a market down there every single Saturday. Most Saturdays. We had to We're recruiting as well. We desperately need salespeople to go out on the stalls on a commission to sell the cookies, so we can just grow and expand. Because that's all we need to do now is just sell. We know the process. We can make them. We just need to sell them.
Cool. Good.
I could keep going on. You know, you said right at the beginning you've had 300% growth, and you said you've gone mad this year.
Yeah.
Tell us what that process looks like.
So that was a case of working out how we can make more and more cookies, because we were just, say, making 3,000 a week, and that was pretty difficult. But then we got more staff in and were able to run the kitchen on shift, because we can still only bake 100. At the time it was 120 cookies an hour, now it's up to 150 cookies an hour. But, you know, I'll work 12, 13 hours, but I can't expect other people to work 12, 13 hours. So it was a case of working, getting more staff to work on shifts so we could start really early in the morning and really late at night. And then it also cash flow was the issue of paying for festivals up front, because last year we didn't have all that money because I'd spent it all on setting up a kitchen, and then suddenly all the festivals were only £400.
Yeah.
So £400. But this year it was a lot easier because we started the year with the Idol Home Show, and that just gave us enough cash to be able to sort of pay for. But I made it really difficult for myself again this year by getting married in May. So that was quite an expense.
He's not making it easy,
no.
Is he?
No.
Yeah. And then what's he going to do? He's going to launch a new business next year.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, I'm really looking forward to 2018. It's going to be amazing.
So come on, Tom. This new business idea, you don't have to tell us exactly what it is, but it's not to do with food?
It is coffee.
It's coffee?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So it's to do with coffee and also helping distribution. So it's distribution of coffee. So
okay.
Yeah. And you get
coffee and cookies, there's a link.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a big future.
Well, I own a coffee shop, you know. Cool. So what are your plans after that? You've got the entrepreneur bug,
basically,
what you're telling me.
I've got loads of crazy ideas. I just list them on my phone all the time, and it's just then I speak to my dad, and my dad's very good at going, yeah, but what about this? And I go, oh yeah, that won't work. So or that will work. And this latest one, he said, I'm really looking forward to see how you develop this. So. Yeah, he's sort of quite an influence on which way I go. He kind of calms me down and just puts me in the right direction. Because even with Thomas Cookie Car, I've got so many plans with that. I literally want it to be a household name across the whole country and the world. You know, I've got friends in Dubai, and they're like, oh, you could definitely
don't hold back. Go for
it's good. You've got to have a global business now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you see what I did there?
Yeah, I see what you did there.
Thanks very much, Tom. You can go for the... Yeah, you've got to.
Yeah, we're looking at franchising not just shops, but stores, stalls.
Mm.
So we want to be basically in every single festival, food festival, in every single market across the whole entire country by 2019.
In terms of growing your business, Tom, how do you see the impact of that? Where you're presumably in an industrial unit on a Parkwood estate in Maidstone.
Yeah.
So, what growth potential do you have where you are to meet your global ambitions?
Yeah. Well, we're at our maximum capacity at the moment where we are, and my next step is to get a bigger unit. And it's probably the hardest bit, because there aren't any available. When they do come available, unless you know the landlords, it's so hard to get in there.
Commercial property of all kinds is really difficult at the moment.
Yeah, it's just
anything that comes for sale on the market is immediately converted into domestic flats because you don't need planning permission. It's really difficult.
Really? Mm. Yeah, I just on my estate, there's a couple that have come up, but I put offers in and they're gone. Someone else has taken them. So yeah, we need bigger premises, and urgently. This is our next thing. By February next year, we must be in a bigger place. Otherwise, we're going to keep on doing what we did this year, and I don't want that. I want to grow. So it's going to be a little bit of a. We need. I want to get a big place, so it will be in the corner of this massive, great big unit. Just going, oh, I don't know what to do in here, but we will expand into it. So I need to cover the future.
Fantastic. Tom, are you fearless?
No, I'm not. I it was a mentor through the Kent Foundation that have been a massive help. This guy said to me, so do you have any fear of like what you want to do and stuff like that? And I was like, oh, of course, yeah, because I would probably have a bigger unit by now if I had no fear, because I wouldn't care the consequences, but I do. I would have started the business a couple of years earlier. I would have got into a commercial unit sooner, because I think about these things and then I have this fear, but then I logically think about it and I get over that fear and end up doing it anyway. So, I think I could have done more quicker if I didn't have so much fear.
Mm.
Cool. Well, fear's everything, though. Yeah. Feel the fear and do it anyway, as they say. Yeah, exactly. Tom, we could talk about this forever. You're clearly going to be an entrepreneur and a serial entrepreneur at that. We wish you much and continued success. If people want to find out certainly about your cookies at the moment, what's the best way to find out about what you're doing right now?
We got a website. Tom, I built that myself as well.
He's an overachiever, isn't he? He really is, yeah, yeah.
I love my website.
Yeah.
But it's thomascookieco.co.uk.
Fantastic.
So we've got everything on there. It's all available to buy online as well. People don't realise you can actually get cookies mail order. You can buy them through the post.
She's desperate to get her gnashes around one of these cookies, Tom.
I haven't even moved.
Yeah.
I haven't touched them yet.
I've seen you dribbling and watching.
Quite happy.
Yeah, yeah. Do check out the website. You can also follow Tom on Twitter, thomascookieco.
Yeah,
is the Twitter handle, so do give Tom a follow on that. For the moment, Tom, thank you so much for that. It's really interesting talking to you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. Cool.
I love it. We could just keep talking about this all the time, just because it's something so... We've all smiled, haven't we, just listening to talking about cookies.
Absolutely, yeah. I've had a tweet.
From
the mob at Slope Off Friday.
How are they?
And they're all right. They say, Vanilla Web Business Bunker, last call for Slope Off Friday, Medway. A spot of lunch, Friday the 3rd of November. That's this Friday, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It is.
2 p.m. at the Powder Magazine.
Look at the enthusiasm that the both of us have for
Sirkin.
It.
Yeah, oh, yeah, whatever. Oh, it's just my phone rings all night with a bunch of drunks. Yeah. Okay, yeah, so do check that out, Slope Off Friday. You can follow them on the Twitter, Slope Off Friday. What you got, bud?
I have, Kent Invicta Chamber, after hours, 6 till 7:30. Where can you find your next new clients? These popular and highly successful casual networking events are coming to a venue near you. So listen up, Thursday the 2nd of November, that's this week, it's K Sports at Maidstone. Tuesday the 7th of November, Conningbrook Hotel, Ashford. Tuesday the 7th of November, the Nucleus Business Centre, Dartford. And Thursday the 9th of November, Burlington Hotel, Folkestone.
Cheers. It's that time in the show when we bring you the Federation of Small Business News Roundup. I've got a number of things that are happening here. As with previous things, if you want to actually find the details and book your places, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and click on the FSB tab and then click on events, you can find all the details and you can book your place. There's a Women in Business brunch in Sevenoaks on Thursday the 9th of November from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. at the King's Head, and that's in Bessels Green. And the guest speaker is Francesca Watson, and she's the owner of Sevenoaks Mums. There's an FSB Connect festive Tenterton networking meeting on Wednesday, November the 15th. That's in the evening at 5:30 until 7:30, and that's at the lovely Secret Pantry, which is 100 the High Street, Tenterton. And they have a Kent Police cybercrime spokesperson coming to talk to them there. There's a Connect networking in Maidstone on Thursday the 16th of November at 5:30 p.m. at the Metro Bank. That's in Week Street, Maidstone. Bi-monthly networking event for women in business. And there's also a Women in Business Dartford event on Tuesday, December the 5th at 10 a.m. at the Base Point Centre, Dartford. So do check out all of those on the FSB tab on the Kent Business Radio website.
The search is on for South East Most Outstanding Small Business, the FSB, celebrating Small Business Awards 2018. And now on 11th of September for entries. Small business in the South East of England have until January 2018 to enter for free. The awards will celebrate the best of the area's 392,085 small businesses and their vast contribution to both the regional and national economies. Here are the categories. So they have 12 FSB celebrating Small Business Award categories: Business Exporter of the Year, Ethical Green Business of the Year, Business and Product Innovation Award, Digital Business of the Year, Micro Business of the Year, Startup of the Year, Scale Up of the Year, Family Business of the Year, Young Entrepreneur of the Year, Employer of the Year, Triumph Over Adversity Award and Community Award. You need to go to fsbawards.co.uk.
Fantastic. The business's opinion is needed on the Tunbridge Wells Civic Centre proposal. Businesses are being invited to a briefing after the council received the final reports on its plans to invest in a new town centre development. Following a series of earlier briefings for local businesses, the council is to host a further event at 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday the 1st of November, that's manana, tomorrow, in a council chamber at the town hall, focusing on plans to develop a 1,200-seat theatre, a civic centre, a commercial office to let, and an underground car park on the edge of Calverley Grounds. To register for the next business briefing, please email twciviccentre@tunbridgewells.gov.uk.
Council parking regimes stifle small business community. Local authorities could do more to boost growth by taking a more generous approach to parking around local high streets. Reacting to new figures from the RAC Foundation that show 8 million local authority parking penalties are issued annually across England and Wales, Mike Cherry said introducing schemes like short stay free parking can prove a shot in the arm for town centres. We always talk about parking and it's so true.
Yeah, and it's about time they started listening, really, but they don't. Get ready for Small Business Saturday. It's the bus tour. The Small Business Saturday has announced plans for its year's bus tour, starting on Monday the 23rd of October in Dundee, so it's on its way. The bus will travel to 29 different towns and cities. Launching during the tour is a new mentoring programme, as well as the Small Business Saturday Blue Sofa, where interviews and Q&A sessions will be streamed via Facebook Live. For dates and locations of your town, go to smallbusinesssaturdayuk.com.
Compensation is key for RBS GRG victims. The publication of the Financial Conduct Authority's interim summary report on the treatment of smaller businesses by the Royal Bank of Scotland's Global Restructuring Group this week was described as a step forward by National Chairman Mike Cherry. He said the full report should be released in the future to show how the systematic failure happened and who was responsible, but emphasised the most important thing now is that GRG victims receive the compensation they are due.
Okay. Generating business in Canterbury. One of the best ways to learn, network and grow is to immerse yourself in a wide variety of business events. The business and regeneration team at Canterbury Council's aim is to be a one-stop shop for you to discover events that are relevant to your business. And you can find out more information in association with the FSB by going to mybiz-canterbury.co.uk/events.
Success of industrial strategy hinges on infrastructure. The Chancellor must deliver promised improvements to digital and road connectivity while removing barriers for the small builders at his autumn budget next month. As part of his budget submission, FSB called on government to put forward a series of recommendations aimed at boosting output among smaller house builders in England. And this is for a broadband by 2012 and it will be implemented. Networking could help tackle loneliness of self-employed. FSB is urging the UK's 5.5 million small business owners and their self-employed to make more use of business networking groups to help increase their well-being and mitigate mental health problems that can be caused by isolation. Feeling lonely can have a negative impact on mental health, according to Charity Mind, which is supporting FSB's Wellbeing in Small Business campaign. So visit the Wellbeing Hub for information and practical advice for your business on mental health and your general well-being.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Bird. That is the end of the FSB News Roundup for another week. There's loads of events. As I say, if you want to find out anything about the FSB, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk website and click on the FSB tab, all the information is there. But do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to cross over and join John in the Channel Radio newsroom for a news update, and then we'll be back for the second part of the show quite shortly.
On the hour, Channel Radio.